A cloud of chlorine gas from a derailed freight train is spreading northward today through the Florida Panhandle. The death toll caused by the gas stands at 8, with around 90 people injured. At least 2,500 people have been evacuated from their homes within a 5-mile radius of the scene, and the evacuation area has now been expanded to a 10-mile radius. David Dick reports from Panama City, Florida, that authorities at the scene are proceeding with extra care.
The plan this morning involves a new strategy. Chemical experts say the hole in the ruptured tank car is too large to patch, so they will use foam to try to smother the leaking chlorine gas, and then they hope to remove the car from its entanglement with the others. It's feared a nearby tank car loaded with propane might also be leaking, and a combination of the two gases could result in an explosion, making the operation this morning very delicate. During the night, the wind changed direction for a time, threatening the lives of men working under Major Charles Enfinger of the Bay County Sheriff's Office.
Well, the wind shifted and was bringing the gas down. We had six patrolmen that had to go to the hospital. They got caught in the gas, so we had to move out further.
Are they all right now?
Yes, sir. They've all been released from the hospital.
The evacuation area was doubled during the night after the shifting of the wind. David Dick, CBS News, Panama City, Florida.
Last Wednesday, 24 tank cars derailed in the Tennessee community of Waverly. 2 days later, one of the cars containing propane exploded and 12 people were killed. Yesterday, 55 miles west of Waverly, there was a similar derailment and one of the tank cars began leaking sodium hydroxide. No one was killed in that mishap, but about 100 people had to leave their homes for several hours. And Democratic Senator James Sasser of Tennessee is calling for an investigation of the Federal Railroad Administration's inspection system. Sasser is meeting today with Transportation Secretary Brock Adams to discuss the matter.
Today, most car mileage numbers are a lot of gas. At Datsun, our gas numbers are a lot of miles. Example, our mileage leader, the Datsun B210GX, is rated 42 miles per gallon, Highway 30 City, with optional 5-speed stick. These are EPA estimates. Your mileage may differ. But while the B210GX uses less gas, it gives you more car. Reclining bucket seats, power front disc brakes, radial tires, transistorized ignition, all standard. All built to the greatest standard of all, quality. At Datsun, we are driven to give you more years per car.
No, buy the best, more from a Datsun than Datsun. We are driven.
Don't miss the Datsun Twin 200 at Ontario Motor Speedway Sunday, March the 5th. Free practice and qualifying tickets at all bonds markets. KNX News Radio time is 7:03.
The nation's governors now holding their winter conference in Washington, and Nelson Benton reports that one of the issues commanding major attention is energy.
The nation's governors are to meet with President Carter this afternoon to present a series of reports drafted during their own meeting on energy production and how they suggest it should be increased. Michigan Governor William Milliken said the governors will also present a report on how the states have sought to conserve energy. The tenuous coal labor situation was not on the governor's agenda, but it was discussed. Governor Milliken, a Republican, said the president moved too slowly in the coal strike. Kentucky's Julian Carroll, a Democrat, said the timing was superb. Most governors in coal-burning states said that United Mine Workers' ratification of a tentative coal settlement is vital. That failure to ratify could spell economic disaster. Nelson Benton, CBS News, Washington.
On both sides of the coal dispute, as we hear now from Barry Serafin, the ratification process begins today.
Representatives of the 130 companies in the Bituminous Coal Operators Association will be briefed on the settlement at a meeting here in Washington this morning. At another meeting here this afternoon, district officials of the union will get a contract briefing, then carry details of the agreement back to the rank and file in the coal fields. However, reluctantly in some cases, the operators are expected to go along with the deal negotiated by their leadership. Their decision is not expected to be announced, however, until after the vote by the union's membership. Mine workers officials say that vote will probably take place during the coming weekend. Between now and then, the union will run radio and television commercials urging ratification, and copies of the tentative agreement will begin going out today by plane and truck to the coal fields. Barry Serafin, CBS News, Washington.
President Carter and Secretary of Labor Ray Marshall said yesterday that they think the union's rank and file will approve the tentative settlement, but the rank and file are divided, and in some areas, notably West Virginia, fierce opposition has been expressed.
build homes that welcome you inside. We build homes that you can share with pride. Come fill one with memories to the highest bees. Golden West Mobile Homes, we build homes and dreams.
If you've dreamed of having your own home but don't want to pay today's housing prices, think about a Golden West Mobile Home. Up to 2,000 square feet of comfort at a price you can live with. For a home you'll be proud of, see a Golden West dealer today.
Golden West Mobile Homes, we build homes and dreams.
Go in today and see the Somerset Decorated Motel, a model at Carefree Mobile Homes, located 12200 Beach Boulevard in Stanton between Chapman and Lamson. That's Carefree Mobile Homes in Stanton on Beach Boulevard between Chapman and Lamson at 707.
The Palestinian issue, long a major stumbling block in Egyptian-Israeli peace negotiations, appears to have been complicated by what happened earlier this month at Larnaca Airport in Cyprus. Mike Lee has details in Cairo.
Egyptian Prime Minister Mondus Salam this morning told the Egyptian parliament that the Palestinians will no longer enjoy special privileges in this country as they have in the past. The Prime Minister was reacting to the Larnaca incident a week ago, in which Egypt's leading newspaper editor was murdered and more than a dozen hostages held by two Palestinian gunmen. An ill-fated rescue raid by Egyptian troops resulted in a gun battle with Cypriot troops and the loss of 15 Egyptian commandos. Prime Minister Salam said that the Egyptian people are angry because blood had been shed by the same hand that Egypt has been defending for the past 25 years. Egyptian War Minister General Mohammed Abdel Ghani Ghamasi also addressed the parliament today and said, in effect, that his troops had been double-crossed by the Cypriot authorities. Mike Lee, CBS News, Cairo.
Assistant Secretary of State Alfred Atherton, in Israel now after his talks in Egypt, met today with Prime Minister Menachem Begin. Bruno Wassertile reports from Jerusalem.
Prime Minister Begin gave Atherton Israeli counterproposals to the Egyptian formula for a declaration of principles. Begin said he believes an agreement can be reached, but warned that Egypt's asking Israel for certain prior conditions would lead to deadlock.
If any factor will suggest to us at any time that we should take upon ourselves a prior commitment for total withdrawal to the alliance of 4th of June 1967, preceding the Six-Day War, or to agree to what is termed a Palestinian state, then it should be known that these two demands are unacceptable to us, and we are not committed by Resolution 232 of the United Nations Security Council to either of them.
Begin declined to say whether Israel is halting the construction of new settlements following yesterday's cabinet decision on the subject. The Prime Minister said he'd explain Israel's settlement policy to President Carter in detail when he meets with the President in Washington in mid-March. Bruno Wassertile for CBS News in Jerusalem.
Government-controlled newspapers in Syria this morning say that leaders of that country have refused to meet with Atherton during his current Middle Eastern travels. One newspaper says his present mission does not concern Syria in any way, since it does not serve the cause of a just and lasting peace in that area.
Western's the way to fly. Come join us in the sky. We'll show you why Western is the only way to fly.
Here's important news about the new money-saving Super Saver fares. Now, Western offers more Super Savers to more cities, including the only Super Savers from Los Angeles to both Canada and Mexico. Save up to 41% almost everywhere Western flies. Cities like Seattle, Tacoma, Portland, Vancouver, Mexico City, and Acapulco. For example, save $169 off the round-trip coach fare to Miami. Some fares are subject to government approval and effective dates vary. For details, call Western or see your travel agent and save to 26 cities with Western Super Savers.
We'll show you why Western is the only way to fly.
The Senate is now moving toward a vote on the first substantive attempt to change the Panama Canal treaties. Neil Strausser tells us about it.
Late today or tomorrow, Democratic leader Robert Byrd may move to table, that is, set aside, the amendment by Democrat James Allen to allow the U.S. to keep troops in Panama for 20 years after the canal turnover in the year 2000. Byrd says the Allen Amendment would force renegotiation of the treaties and thus is a treaty killer. For the same reason, Byrd says he will oppose an amendment expected to be offered by Malcolm Wallop and Jesse Helms to allow the U.S. to keep the top-secret Navy communications monitoring facility on Goleta Island in the Canal Zone after the year 2000. The two Republicans are expected to move today for another closed-door session of the Senate to hear reported secret testimony that the facility is a vital southern anchor of an Atlantic network tracking Soviet naval vessels. Byrd can't stop the closed session. Any two senators can force one. But he says it's just another straw that the opposition is grasping at. Neil Strauser, CBS News, Washington.
Tongson Park arrived in Washington late yesterday from Seoul, ready to testify about the South Korean influence buying scandal. We'll hear about him from Jed Duval.
He travels almost like a chief of state, Justice Department officials alongside, lawyers and a police escort, a caravan of cars speeding behind a police car, circling on Washington highways to shake tailing reporters. Tongson Park arrived at Dulles Airport and said he will testify to ethics committees of both houses of Congress. He promised to help, quote, clear things up to the best of his recollection. He would not answer any questions, seemed ready to, but was cut off by his chief American attorney, William Hundley. For Park, the work before Congress begins tomorrow morning in a secret session with the House Ethics Unit before members of that committee and the staff lawyers who work for Leon Jaworski, chief investigator for that House unit. Jed Duval, CBS News, Washington.
G. William Miller is scheduled to make another appearance tomorrow before the Senate Banking Committee, which is considering his nomination to be chairman of the Federal Reserve Board. Miller is chairman of Textron, and the committee wants to find out if Miller was aware of a $2.9 billion payment 5 years ago to an Iranian company by Bell Helicopter. Bell Helicopter is a subsidiary of Textron.
Newsbreak PM. This is Reed Collins reporting on the CBS Radio Network. Managua, Nicaragua is a wonderful place when an old 1940s song, but trying to report what's happening in towns 20 miles from Managua is not easy in the 1970s. A government communique today says 7 guerrillas and 1 government soldier have been killed in rioting and sniping. CBS News correspondent David Dow, who is in Managua, tells us of the frustrations of reporting a shadow rebellion in Latin America.
The difficulties basically stem from the fact that there is a great deal of polarization here. And a sense in some of the communities where the most intense anti-government activity is going on, a sense of people being either with them or against them. And the concept of neutrality and objectivity, as we preach and think of it as U.S. newsmen, is not fully understood.
That's unusual in that it's the reverse coin of most revolutions that have been successful. In this hemisphere particularly, have played the media rather well and have seen them as welcome avenues of opinion.
That is true, but in the City of Messiah, you're dealing with what essentially is a sort of neighborhood rebellion. You're dealing with people who are not conditioned by a sense of a public relation.
President Somoza, I believe, has indicated he's going to call it quits in 1981. Does that promise dull any of the revolutionary activity?
By Nicaraguan law, technically he cannot succeed himself in 1981. But there are 3 years between now and 1981. And to the militants, that's 3 years to work to get President Somoza out of power.
Is there, David, the potential for an all-out revolution?
There have been peaks and valleys in the anti-government activity, which of course goes back several years here. There were many during the strike of a few weeks ago, the general strike in Nicaragua, who were wondering out loud whether this was the beginning of the end of General Somoza. And yet that cooled off only during the last week to warm up again in the sense of intense demonstrations, particularly in the City of Messiah and also in some other cities. So any speculation about the future of General Somoza and the future of this country, I think, is a little premature. One thing that the Somoza family and government has a long running record of maintaining themselves in power in this country.
When you go to Messiah, or when you are prevented from finding out what's happening there, is it the government that's impeding it, or is it the ground grassroots?
The difficulty in obtaining the story comes in going into the community to try to find out what is happening. We are not blocked normally. Just a minute, Reed. Hold on just a moment.
Sure.
We just heard a noise outside here that sounded ominous, and I think it was not ominous.
If you want to take a minute and look, you're welcome to, you know.
No, we just looked.
Okay.
We just looked.
CBS News correspondent David Dow in Nicaragua. The sound heard outside the window is that of a jackhammer in the Managuan streets, but it's enough to make everybody stop and listen twice. Overall, the difficult task of being perceived as neutral by both a government and a rebel army in a country where you are, after all, the guest. Newsbreak PM for Monday, February 27th, 1978. This is Reed Collins, CBS News. CBS News, a new breed of breeder reactor is revealed. This is Reed Collins reporting on the CBS Radio Network. President Carter recently harnessed development of the breeder reactor for fear that its byproduct, plutonium, might fall into the wrong hands and be made into atom bombs. Today, American and British scientists report a new method's been devised in which the reaction byproduct remains mixed, plutonium, uranium, and wastes in one deadly amalgam, so radioactive that nobody could survive even trying to steal it. Getting rid of it does remain a problem in some cases. At the United Nations today, Canada formally proposed a study of the safety aspects of nuclear power plants put into space, an outgrowth of the fall onto Canadian territory of the Cosmos 954. The search for radioactive pieces of that satellite now has become a highly dispersed one. The Canadian Forces Recovery Team is finding hundreds of small, granular radioactive pieces, collecting them in the vicinity of populated areas. The pieces are fissionable, a spokesman says, and therefore probably part of the reactor's core. The problem may solve itself in a way when the spring thaw washes thousands of those pieces into the watershed in the Northwest Territory. More after this.
There was an accountant named Ned who couldn't account for his bed.
While my wife's sound asleep, I lay here counting sheep and wake up with my eyes in the red.
You need King Coil, King Coil.
When a mattress is only right for a woman, it's not always right for a man. But the Posture Bond mattress by King Coil is built for a man, firm and durable, with exclusive bonded construction and edges that won't sag. Right for a man, right for a woman, year after year. King Coil.
The most important part of every move we make at United Van Lines. You come first in everything we do. Like our pre-planned moving system, our Betty Malone relocation services, and our exclusive sanitized vans. Let United Van Lines be an important part of your move.
United, even our name begins with you.
Call your United Van Lines agent. He's in the yellow pages.
The coal miner who struck for more than 80 days has become the object of an intensive campaign. Half a dozen TV commercials soon will be beamed toward the coal fields, urging ratification of the agreement with the mine owners. UMW President Arnold Miller appears in one pro-contract commercial. The process of deciding is expected to take about 10 days. Pennsylvania's Governor Milton Schaap, whose own state is involved, says he thinks the miners will buy the deal.
I think the miners did get much of what they wanted. Some are disgruntled they didn't get all of it. But I think district representatives of Pennsylvania are correct when they say when the miners read what is actually in that contract, they're going to be favorably impressed with it.
Those Yankees in high-taxed northern states who smuggle in cigarettes from below the Mason-Dixon line may have some cause for pause. Smuggling could become dangerous to their health. Pennsylvania's offering a bounty of 50 cents a carton for confiscated cigarettes and is taking out advertisements in southern newspapers. Pennsylvania police say the day after their bounty ad ran in Raleigh, North Carolina, they got several tips, not filter tips. A new kind of dissident is raising his voice in the Soviet Union these days. David Willis reports from Moscow.
The dissidents that most people know about in the Soviet Union are intellectuals, Jews, and others who want to emigrate or to fight for universal human rights. But there's another kind, workers who say that they've been fired for persistent complaining about management abuses here. Today, these workers defied an official crackdown to talk to Western newsmen in Moscow once again. They said that two of their members had been put into psychiatric hospital wards in punishment. Five more were simply missing, they said, including their leader, a Ukrainian coal mine foreman, Vladimir Klebanov. Two spokesmen for the group said that it now had about 200 members, a claim that cannot be verified independently. Members also handed out 46 typewritten pages of documents, including a new charter for their unofficial trade union. David Willis for CBS News, Moscow.
The Senate today rejected a change in the Panama Canal treaties that would have allowed American military presence there until the year 2020. The vote to keep such a radical change in the current treaty language out of the picture was 55 to 34, still one dozen less votes than the treaty backers will need for ratification. And now, this.
All week long, feeling strong, the best is yet to come. Weekends were made for special friends. Weekends were made for you. It's the time to have that smooth and mellow beer. It's Michelob, yeah. Weekends were made for Michelob.
You don't have to wait for the weekend to enjoy Michelob. But it's nice to know if you do, the wait is well worth it.
Weekends were made for Michelob.
Yeah.
Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis.
The South Korean businessman Tong Song Park today pleaded innocent to a battery of bribery and other charges, and he was released without having to post bond. The deal under which Park returned from South Korea to tell Congress and the courts what he knows about influence buying states that Park's not to be prosecuted, and today's arraignment was a mere gesture. Cuban troops are now reportedly fighting on two fronts in Ethiopia and Africa. They're engaged in the battle with Somalia, and Eritrean insurgents also say they're meeting Cuban troops in the north who are siding and aiding in the suppression of the Eritrean rebellion. The Eritrean leader in Rome, Michael Kasai, claims 1,000 Cubans have joined the regular troops in the city of Asmara, which has been under rebel siege for some 5 months. The internal negotiations among those who live in Rhodesia resume today, and one of the moderate blacks taking part says now the approach is gaining the support of the United States, Britain, and much of black Africa that was not already committed, that is, to some more violent solution. Dabaningi Sidoli says Britain will recognize the settlement on certain conditions, and Sidoli says he has received indications the Carter administration is beginning to shift as well. A blonde nightclub singer told the court in Nicosia, Cyprus today the two Arab gunmen who killed an Egyptian editor, then hijacked a plane, had lavished money for 2 nights before on champagne, whiskey, and women. The singer added a mystery to the bloody affair by saying there was a third man in the party. More after this.
Hello.
Good morning. We're taking a survey about cleaning products. Oh. Is the lady of the house at home?
Well, I sort of am the lady of the house.
Well.
My wife works and I look after things.
Oh, well, then would you mind answering our questionnaire?
Oh, not at all.
What do you use to clean the different surfaces in your home, such as vinyl, porcelain?
Fantastic. In fact, I use Fantastic for those and just about everything else from plastic to chrome.
Good.
Fantastic is the multi-surface spray cleaner.
Jack? Jack, is that you?
Helen?
Oh.
Announcing the Great Dodge Option Sale. Now Dodge Adventurer and Adventurer SE pickups have Prospector Option packages with special reduced sale prices. Popular options that would be considerably more if purchased separately. And there are special option packages on four-wheel drive Ram Chargers, too. They come to your Dodge dealer at prices that let him help you save during the Great Dodge Option Sale. Dodge, the fastest-growing truck company in America.
In Barcelona, Spain, a group of Spanish actors goes on trial tomorrow for insulting the military in one of their skits. They are accused of reenacting the garroting of a Spanish anarchist convicted of terrorism and that of a Polish drifter convicted of murder. Keeping a transcript of this proceeding may be difficult, if not impossible. The defendant actors are members of the Jugglers, a pantomime company from Barcelona, and the crime is all in mime. Reed Collins, CBS News.